The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
McCallum leads part of our student ministry. He's one of our student ministry directors. He first attended Summit Cherrydale. I'll let him share a little bit of that story, but God has allowed him to become an increasing part of our staff team, and he's invested in our students for quite some time now, and thankful for that. And I've asked him to teach this morning and really just to share what God laid on his heart. And to his credit, this was back at the end of February, 1st of March, and so for the last 4 to 6 weeks, he's really been praying about, thinking about what God would have him to share, and we've talked about that quite a bit, and thankful for his heart this morning to share the word, and I pray that you will encourage him by being good listeners to the word, who not only hear what God says, but allow that to shape and transform who we are and how we think and how we leave this place. Kip and I tried to encourage him because we remember the first time that we ever taught in church. It's the first time teaching at Summit, and so we said, hey man, we'll just encourage you. The first time I taught 6 minutes. I don't even know if you could call it preaching. I don't know what it was, but that's what happened, and they probably should have stopped me there for a while, but many more stories I could share about that journey in my life. And then Kip, the first time Kip ever preached on a Sunday was 11 minutes, and so ironically, we both heard the same feedback. And that was that our brevity was our giftedness. And if you go short, nobody ever hates you. So that's what we told Austin. If you go short, nobody ever hates you. But no, I had the opportunity in the first service to hear what Austin's going to share with you this morning. I hope, I pray, and I trust that it'll be an encouragement to your heart and your soul. And I'm thankful for his willingness to share the word this morning. I'm thankful for the ways in which he does that with our students on a regular basis. And I hope and pray you will encourage him as well. I'm going to ask him to come. And as he does, I'm going to pray for him and for us as we hear the word. Father God, we love you and we thank you for your word, which is true and reliable and informs and shapes so much of what we know about you and how we live with you in this life. And so we're grateful for it. I'm thankful for Austin and for those who serve our students here. And I'm thankful for his desire and his willingness to stand up and proclaim your word this morning with confidence, trusting your spirit will use your word in our hearts. And Lord, I pray that we would be, in fact, people who hear your word and are changed by it and leave this place obedient to you, because it is through that obedience that we actually discover you bring joy. And so help us to be faithful to what we hear this morning, and give Austin, even in this moment, clarity of mind, confidence in his heart that you will, in fact, use him today to share your word with your people. And we're grateful for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
I think I'm good. Good morning. Good morning. Y'all got me? Y'all got me? Welcome to Summit Church. Like Kyle said, my name's Austin. I'm one of the guys on the Summit team here that has the privilege of working with students. I actually work with students across all four of our campuses, so four different youth groups. It's a lot to keep up with. But Cherrydale is my home campus, so there it is. But because I'm not able to be here all the time, I wanted to start off telling you guys a little bit about me so that you could get to know me some. I was born and raised in Charlotte, North Carolina, if anybody's from Charlotte, woo to that as well. I'm 22 years old, and I feel like that may or may not be slightly below the median age in this room. I don't know. I'll let y'all decide. And then I graduated from North Greenville University last May, so if there's any Crusaders in here. Yeah, I heard a few. There it is. And the reason I even went to North Greenville University was because, and honestly, the reason I'm here today was because there was 4 or 5 or 6, I don't know, there was some people when I was in middle and high school that chose to invest their time and energy into me. And whether it was because they saw great things in me and they thought that they could develop, or if it was because they didn't see anything in me and they were like, this kid needs some help. Whatever it was, they were like, we're going to pour into him, and we're going to be obedient to the Lord. We're going to be available for him to use, and we're going to hope, and we're going to trust that through this kid that something will happen for the kingdom. We don't know what it's going to be, but we're going to push him in that direction. And so those people were incredibly influential on my life, and because of that, I decided I wanted to go to school and get a degree that would allow me to have a job where I could focus every single day on doing exactly that for at least one student. I was like, all I want to do is be what they were for me to at least one person. And that will be enough. That will be success in a career. And so today, I'm going to look at this talk the exact same way. So as long as one of you likes it, that will be a successful talk. And my stepmom's here, so I already won. But so the message today is going to be out of Matthew 26. If you want to go ahead and turn there, I'm going to tell you a bit more about me, and then I'm going to tell you some about how I got to settle in on this passage. So while I was in school, or when I started at North Greenville, I had literally just started following God maybe a year prior. And so it was pretty quick. It all started happening really fast. And when I got there, I realized that I really didn't even have a foundation for what it meant to follow God. I didn't know how to carry that out. All I knew is that I was there, and what got me there was telling people, all I want to do is love God and love other people. And it just continued to be enough. It was just a good enough answer. So if you need one, there you go. But so I got there, and I was like, I don't know how to do this. And I thought to myself, the best way for me to do this was I was just going to amass a ton of knowledge. I was like, I'm just going to listen to every single sermon that I can, listen to every podcast I can. I'm going to read every Christian book that I can get my hands on. And then I'm going to ask everyone older and wiser than me if they could just give me advice for every single situation. And I was like, if I keep amassing knowledge, if I keep learning and learning and learning about Christianity and about God, eventually I'll be spiritually mature and I'll never have a bad relationship because I'll have the formula for making people feel like they're loved. And that did not work. And that did not work whatsoever. I actually think it made it worse. When I first met all of my friends, which were like sitting over in this area, they just thought I was pretentious because I was just like, dude, did you know this? Did you know this? Every single time. And the corrections, it was just a bad way to go. But then luckily one day, I was listening to a podcast, I think. I don't remember who was saying it or what church it was. This is like the worst verbal citation. But he said, if you want to love people better, then you will spend more time getting to know love himself. And I don't know if he coined that phrase, but it spoke to me. And so for the next few years and for my past few years, I just tried to take time out of every single day where I'm going to be intentional about becoming intimate with the Father. I'm going to go to him and I'm going to ask him to teach me how to love his people. And one thing that he told me while I've been doing that in the past couple years was that although I do need to bring my doubts and my fears and my dreams and my hopes and my successes and my wins and my failures and my shortcomings to him, although I do need to confess to him, I also need to be willing to confess to the people around me. I need to be willing to tell the people in my circle of accountability or in my regular rhythms, this is who I really am. This is what I really go through. I need to be willing to let them know me so that they can love me well. Know me well, love me well. And I need to be willing to reciprocate. And so when Kyle came to me and he asked me to teach, I was like, okay, yeah, I would love to teach. And he was like, all you got to do is teach about something you're passionate about and then teach about something you've seen at Summit and you pray that we would continue in. And so as I was searching for that, what that thing was going to be, I zeroed in on this idea of just being transparent. Because it's something that obviously, like I said, is important to me, but it's something I've seen all throughout Summit. I've seen it firsthand with the staff, where we're in staff meeting, and we used to meet around a table, but now we meet in a big room really far apart, because if one of us gets COVID, we don't all want to get COVID. But I watch these people pour out to each other, these prayer requests, on a weekly basis. This is what we're going through. This is what my family's struggling with. These are the health issues that I just need God to take control of because I can't do anything with. Will you be here with me in this? Will you pray with me in this? And I watch them be open and vulnerable and transparent. And then I've seen it here in this specific congregation where multiple times since I started going here, we've separated into small groups and we've prayed across the auditorium out loud with each other. Although most of us are complete strangers, but brothers and sisters in Christ, we're willing to allow each other to hear us pour out our most intimate conversation to the Father, saying, this is what I'm going through. This is what I need. Lord, this is the thing I don't want to be in right now, but for some reason I can't get away from. And then obviously in life groups, if you're in a life group, you know that's where you go and people are literally doing life with you. They're loving you and caring for you, giving you a chance to say all the weird things that you wouldn't say out in public and giving you a chance to ask all the questions that you think people might think you're dumb if you ask other ways. And so I've seen it all throughout Summit, and I've seen it in my life as a super important thing. And so that's how I got to this passage in Matthew 26, because I think that this is a beautiful example of Jesus showing us what transparency looks like in the community. And so if y'all are there, I'm going to be in verse 36. But before that, I want to talk a little bit about what's leading up to this. And so Jesus has known for a while now what is coming for him. He knows that the end is near for him, quite literally. Maybe more than any other situation in life, Jesus understands that impending doom is for sure. And he just had his last meal, pre-resurrected last meal. He eats breakfast later. He just had his last supper with all of his friends. The friends that he's been walking around with for 3 years, they've actually been spending every single moment together. And he tells them all the time about what's coming, and it seems like they don't really understand. He's tried to tell them multiple times. And so at this supper, he's sitting down, and he's like, man, let's cherish this moment. But then he also has to tell one of his friends, I know that you're going to betray me. And then he tells another friend, I know that you're going to deny me, actually thrice. And so when he leaves there, stress is surmounting, literally the weight of the world on his shoulders. Because he's finally at the moment. He's on the cusp of the moment that the world hinges on. He's walking up to what is going to be his actual death. And he knows it. And so in classic Jesus fashion, he decides the best thing to do in that time is to go and pray. And so he asks his friends, will you go with me? And I heard one pastor say, will you go with me to the Olive Garden? But I couldn't say that because soup, salad, breadstick, maybe we can go after. But he goes over to this garden on the Mount of Olives called Gethsemane, and that's where I'm going to pick up. Verse 36, he says, then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Most of the time, and initially when I had read this passage, I was looking forward to the triumphant resurrection. I would just blitz through these couple passages prior to the cross and the resurrection, and I wouldn't give them enough attention. But someone had called my attention to this specific verse, verse 38, where Jesus has just brought his friends to pray with him, and then out of his group of friends, he took his inner circle, the people he's real tight with, and he said, come with me a little bit further. And then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And when this was brought to my attention, I couldn't help but notice how abnormal this would be for most of us. How absolutely strange it would be as an adult or a young student to say, hey, will you stay the night with me? Not in a weird way, not in a super fun slumber party way, but in a, I am hurting right now. I'm hurting to the point where I do not want to be alone. I need you to be here with me and to pray with me. Even though I know that there's nothing you can do about it. It will be better for me if I can be open with you, I can put myself out there, and I know that you will accept me and just be in the moment here. And I love this example from Jesus. I love it because whenever I sit in this, it encourages me to go and do the same thing and to be open with the people that love me and to let them in and to not be scared to look a little weak maybe. But when I was reading this at first, I thought, we don't always do this. We're not always willing to put ourselves out there. We're not always willing to be vulnerable. We're not always willing to tell each other, this is how I'm hurting. Will you please be with me? What really came to mind was this sports analogy. And if you're not a sports person, bear with me. And you're probably looking at me and you're like, he's definitely not a sports person. Well, little do you know. But I grew up playing sports basically all year round. I follow sports pretty closely. And one thing that you see a lot in sports are unreported injuries, where you see a play happen, it's pretty bang bang, and then all of a sudden someone's walking gingerly, or they're limping around, or they're holding their arm, or if it's football, they just got hit in the head and now they're stumbling around and they don't know their name. And then they come off, or they sub out, or coach calls a timeout, the coach or the trainer is talking to them, and he's like, hey, are you good? Are you okay? And this is what I thought of for me specifically. I remember instances like this where I came off, they asked me if I was okay, and my only response was, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm okay. When I knew something was wrong, I could feel it. I knew something was wrong. There was a problem. But the reason that those answers were the only things that came out of my mouth were because, one, I didn't want to look weak. I didn't want people to think that I was weak. I didn't want to let them in on what was actually wrong. Because if they knew something was wrong with me, maybe they don't think I could overcome. Maybe they don't think I could go back in the game and do what I need to do. And so that leads to the second one. The second thing was, I didn't want them to think that I wasn't fit for the job. I couldn't live up to their expectation, because if they knew that I had problems, if they knew that I had an injury, maybe they wouldn't want me to start. And that's not realistic for me. It was more like second string or third string, but maybe they wouldn't want me to sub. And maybe this is because I'm a realist, which is just code name for pessimist. But I'm a glass half empty type of person, at least that's what most of my friends say. And so although I've seen transparency all throughout Summit, at each different campus, I can't help but think that we experience those same moments. We walk outside and our neighbor's mowing the lawn and we're going to our car and they say, how are you doing? And you're not doing good. For me, it's you just blew up on your dog for doing something that dogs normally do, just like sleeping in your spot on the couch or whatever it is. And you know that there's something pent up in you. You're like, I should not have been that mad. And you walk outside, and I have this wonderful neighbor. His name's Arliss. If you ever meet an Arliss, he's 88. He's a pastor for 25 years and a military for 25 more. He's been married for like 50 years. He's just the ideal person. But I walk outside. He's nice enough to ask me how I'm doing. I know there's something in me that I need to say. And I'm like, I'm good. I'm good. Or maybe it's with your family. They come in town for Easter or some other holiday. The one that you actually connect with is willing to sit down. They're nice enough to ask you how things are going. And you know that lately they haven't been going great. Lately you've been fighting with your spouse. Or there's financial issues. Or you're taking your stress out on your kids when you get home and you just can't stop doing it for whatever reason. You know things are not going great, but you look at them and you say, things are good. Things are good. How about you? Or maybe you're in life group, and this one may be more real, but maybe you're in life group and the conversation comes around to you. It's finally your turn to share. Everyone wants to know what's going on in your life. And you've had this struggle pent up for a minute. God is tugging on your heart, asking you, let them in, let them in. and you keep it super general. And you're like, yeah, I've had some issues lately. Things could be better. I could read my Bible more. I could probably spend more time praying. Everyone could. And we do this for the same reason as the athlete. We don't want people to look at us as weak. We don't want people to see our shortcomings. For some reason, we want to live up to the expectation that they have for us, and we don't want to think that we're not fit for the job. But Jesus' example shows us that we can be transparent, and that's because he knows that the Father accepts him anyway. It doesn't matter what all these other people are going to say. It doesn't matter what they think, if they're going to think he's weak. He knows who he is in Christ, so he has a freedom to share. And I want to jump to another passage that shows us the same thing. It's in Acts 2, if you want to turn there. It's going to be verse 42. If you're familiar with Acts, you know that this is talking about the beginning of the church. And this passage right here, when I read it, it just sounds like the most beautiful community possible. It literally is titled The Fellowship of Believers. If you're there, I'll go ahead and read. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, and day by day attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Verse 45 is so wild to me. When I was younger, I didn't have a ton of money. Or my family didn't. I had no money. And so when verse 45, it says, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. When I think about a community of believers coming together and someone says that they're going to sell something to meet your need, that sounds like an amazing community. And just the rest of this passage where it's talking about they were breaking bread together, they were praising the Lord together, they had glad hearts together, they were going to the temple together. It's amazing. And I know that there's some people in here that when you read this, you're like, that's the community I'm in. That's describing the community I'm in. And I think that that's amazing. But I also know that there's some people in here that are very unfamiliar with this type of community. There's some people in here that don't know anyone who would do any of these things with them. And so I want to lay out four steps. In the first service, I said a couple, and it's not a couple. I want to lay out four steps that will help you cultivate community where you're at. The first one, and it's not going to be exactly like this. I want to go ahead and state that. You're not going to eat with this person every single day. At least I don't think you will. But the first one is looking around at the people that God has placed in your life and excluding the people that share your blood or your last name. Asking, is there anyone here that knows me 100%? Is there anyone here that knows every single thing about me? Is there anyone that knows who I used to be, who I am now, and who I dream to be? And if the answer is no, ask God to help you find that person. If the answer is yes, and you're ready for step two. When you have that person that you can pour out to, when you have that person that you can be transparent with and they accept your transparency and love, then step two is asking the Father, Lord, will you search out my heart? Will you help me figure out what it is that I need to put out there for my community, what it is that I need to share? Because if you're like me, maybe you struggle with believing this illusion that you know yourself better than God knows you. For some reason, I tend to think I know what's going to make me happy. I know what's going to get me what I desire. And I know the things that I need to share. And I know why I'm feeling what I'm feeling. But when I actually take the time to sit down with the Father, he just unravels those ideas. He shows me what's really wrong. And he tells me that I'm secure. And so step two is sitting down with the Father, asking him, what is it about me? What is the reason that when I'm going to bed at night, I stay up thinking all night? What is the reason that I keep blowing up over little things? Help me get to the bottom of it, asking him to search your heart out. And then there's step three. And step three is also this fully dependent on the Lord, asking him, Lord, give me courage and give me the words to speak. Give me courage to put myself out there. It's not an easy thing. Lord, help me be vulnerable. Help me understand that because you love me, because you never made me earn your love, because you love me right where I'm at in the thick of it, it doesn't matter that if I pour myself out to this person, if they don't respond in the way I expected, but help me do it anyway because you don't want me to bear these burdens alone. And then four is looking to love the people around you in the same way that God loves you, looking to be the person that can accept their transparency. And so if you were one of the people that was reading this passage in Acts 2 and you were saying, that's describing my community, be on the lookout for people where they don't know that community well. Be ready to accept them into your community. Be ready to extend that. Because the end of it says that the Lord was growing their numbers. And he's talking about a church here, but I don't think that that's limited to a church. At least for me, I would say that it's good to extend your community. And so I want to end on one more thing. This is where I'm going to hop off. I think I beat 11 minutes. World record. When Kyle first asked me to give this message today, I got super excited and I said yes. And then immediately following, I got super scared. And I was like, what if I blow it? What if I say something heretical? Really, just those two things would be the worst. And so I got really frightened. And I went and I asked Cam Hill, who teaches here, and he's been teaching here since he was super young. I was like, man, what? I really went back to what I was doing at first where I looked for these quick solutions. But I was like, can you tell me in one sentence how to be a great preacher? And he was like, actually, I can. And he told me, all you have to do is read this text over and over again. Pray to God. Ask him to teach you the truth in this text. And then get really passionate about that. And I did. I read both of these passages, the one in 26 and the one in Acts 2. And I got really passionate about the message. And so if you don't think that I did a great job communicating this, this is where it's on you now. I would say this week, you should take time, sit down in Matthew 26 and in Acts 2, read both of these passages. Ask God, Lord, show me the truth in this. And then if you settle in on the fact that this is something that you want to take part in, this is the community that you're thirsting for, work through the steps. Work through the steps. All right. Thank you guys for listening. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to welcome the band back up, and we're going to praise God. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for preserving your word so that we could learn more about you today. Lord, I ask that as we go throughout this week, that you would help us to be transparent. Help us to be vulnerable with each other. And Lord, help us to understand that no matter what they say when we are vulnerable, it doesn't matter because we're secure in you. You loved us first so that we could go and love others. Thank you, God. We love you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.